Hello, everyone around the world. Welcome. Bienvenidos, que calo sirvete, to Coloring My Way Across the Globe. I'm your host, Lauren Battistini, color consultant, artist, language learner, and world traveler. Join me each week as I chronicle the most colorful people, places, and experiences I encounter off the beaten path, both near and far. So, let's go. Vámonos, que pame. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Color Studio. I'm your host, Lauren Battistini, and this week's episode is one of my little monologues. And it should be titled, All of the Non-Traditional, Unconventional Ways That a Person Suffering with Undiagnosed ADD Learns Languages, aka myself. I am a person who has a very difficult time sitting still for any length and learning languages the traditional way from a textbook and practicing conjugating, for example, the same couple of verbs over and over again. Case in point, I took a year or two of high school Spanish and didn't really learn that much. And the teachers were great, though. And then I took a year of Spanish in college. It was not until I went to physically live in Costa Rica, in Central America, for 4 months on my last semester of college. And I spent time in classrooms where there were no textbooks. We were just having conversations and learning that way, being fully immersed in the culture and in the language. It wasn't until then that I really became fluent in a second language. So today's episode is all about some of the more creative, unconventional ways I employ to gain fluency in languages. Obviously, my native tongue is English. My second language, which I'm conversationally fluent in, is Spanish, although I've been losing some fluency for lack of practice. And the third language that I am learning currently is Greek. I dabble here and there in Portuguese and Italian, and quite frankly, I learn languages based on situational needs. I love all languages, truthfully. I'd love to learn them all, but that would be impossible for me. So I'm very focused on whatever language has to do with either my life, vacation, or career goals. So I've been more focused lately on Greek. And last October, as you know, I was there for 5 weeks, and I was able to more fully immerse myself in the culture, in the customs, and again, in just daily practice of the language. So I came back, I would not say fluent, but definitely understanding more words and phrases in Greek than before I had left for the trip. So before we dig right into my methods of learning, I want to give you a little bit of information, just some stats about my podcast. You know, Coloring My Way Across the Globe is a podcast I started. I began interviewing people last year, fourth quarter, but I launched it around January 1st. And every Friday, I release a new episode. And what makes this podcast so special to me and frankly dynamic? It is simply the guests who have given such colorful, cultural, informative insights about their multifaceted lives, their colorful lives, for lack of a better word. And so this podcast is really gaining in popularity. It certainly holds a very special place in my heart, and I'm receiving a lot of positive feedback from listeners. I am adding a video component to the podcast, and that's taking a little bit of a time. There's a learning curve here for me to learn how to manage a lot of this on my own. I do have a sound editor support person helping me out, and he is trying to onboard me so that I can understand better how to launch both audio and video. So for this episode, though, at least right now, we're just launching audio. So, but before we launch into the topic of the day, I want to share some stats with you about the podcast. It is now being listened to in, oh goodness, over 16 countries and over 90 cities worldwide. It's been listened to so far on every continent minus the continent of Africa. So where are my African listeners? I need to reach out to you all. So as I invite guests onto the show from all around the world, and we will definitely be addressing or invite many guests who are originally from the continent of Africa or maybe currently live there, I'm sure that listenership will, that audience will increase in that part of the world. So it is a joy and a pleasure for me every week to bring information to you, to bring culturally informative insights and conversation to you. You know, I was just talking to one of my guests today in a prior interview, and we were discussing how we're so bombarded with social media, news, the option of 5,000 podcasts, lots of books we can read, webinars, you name it, we're being bombarded with information. So at the very least, I want to make sure that this podcast is a place where you can come and learn something new, be entertained, informed, encouraged, inspired to have your own colorful experiences, as I always say, off the beaten path, both near and far. Okay, everybody, let's dig right into language. Let's talk about how I learn. I've actually taken a few notes and I might need to reference them. The number one pointer that I can give you for learning language, even if it doesn't come naturally to you, is to identify your reason why you're learning the language. This is most important because when you have a truly passionate reason for learning a language, be it for career or for love or just for sheer curiosity, usually we have a goal in mind or we have a motive or a reason why we're learning a new language. You must identify that, and it might be that there are more than one reason, more than one reasons. And it's important to have that information always at the forefront so that in those times of language learning where you feel frustrated, your why will keep you motivated to continue learning the language. Language learning is not easy, but it is rewarding. So identify your why, first of all. In my case, when it came to Spanish, I think I began learning it and really, really learning it immersively in 1994. And the reason why Spanish was so important to me is because I was very interested at the time, still am, in doing some mission work to Spanish-speaking countries. So there was some mission work I wanted to do through my church and community where Spanish was going to be very beneficial. That's one of the reasons. The second reason is because ethnically, my heritage, as I always like to talk about, though I'm like a third or fourth generation New Orleanian, my heritage is Spaniard, little Cuban, due to a relocation and my grandfather's side of the family, Italian, a little bit of French, and some Scottish. So I really wanted to utilize Spanish as a way to tap into my heritage in some way. Okay, another tip I have for you when you're going to learn a new language is to find a topic of interest. So I'll use Greek as an example here. Greek is the third language I'm learning. And I had it in mind when I began learning to utilize it both for travel and cultural reasons, but also for the purposes of doing some kind of business in Greece. So for me, my topic of interest was learning how to say words in and around the fact that I am a business owner. I run an architectural color consulting firm. I'm interested in doing business in Greece with native Greek speakers. And so learning terminology, basic conversation, of course, but also learning how to tell people in Greek, I am a business owner. I've come here from the United States. I'm interested in doing business with you. Also identifying colors, materials, textures, anything that's industry related to my work. To me, that's a topic of interest. A second topic of interest for me with the Greek language is, interestingly, swimming terminology. Because when I went last October, one of the main driving forces behind the trip was that I was going to swim in this 3 kilometer open water race swim off the coast of Spetses, an island in Greece. And I needed to understand a little bit of swim terminology. And so I began learning a few words here and there that in Greek. For safety reasons, also, if I'm out in the middle of the water and I need some help, you know, I needed to be able to speak, to ask for help in Greek. Although, let me say this, in Greece, most people really do speak English. I would have been just fine, but I like to speak the native language when I'm in a country. Okay, so you're going to identify your why, and then you're going to find a topic of interest and begin building a vocabulary around that. Another very fun and easy method to at least acclimate your ear to a new language is to listen to music. I listen to a ton of Greek music, classical type Greek music, you know, very ethnically Greek music. And this might sound silly to some, but I also listen to Greek rap music. I know that sounds silly, but just like it with English rap music, Greek rap music uses a lot of very common, simple, daily phrases, speaking just everyday language. Now, of course, there are going to be some colorful, maybe not so polite words thrown in there. That's okay. Listening to that type of music helps me learn modern, just conversational Greek as well. I also, in addition to music, I listen to either podcasts or one of my topic of interests is the Bible and sermons. Those are my topics of interest as well. So I will listen to podcasts in Greek and I'll make sure I hit different topics. It could be about human interest. It could be about finances. It could be about travel to Greece. So I'll listen to podcasts in Greece, in Greek, excuse me. And then I also will listen to, sometimes there's a church that's a Greek language church based in Boston, Massachusetts, and they are an evangelical Christian community. And I'm realizing right now as I record this how silly it might sound. On the one hand, I'm listening to Greek rap music that has bad words, and on the flip side, I'm listening to sermons in Greek through this evangelical church out of Boston, Massachusetts. I realize that sounds silly and funny, but here I am being open and vulnerable. I'm sharing with you some of the techniques I use to learn languages, so there you have it. But what I really love about this, the preaching, I love the preaching, but the pastor says a couple of sentences in Greek, and then he has a translator translate them over to English. So he does that through the entire sermon and church service. So it's wonderful. It's a fully bilingual Greek-English church service. So I get to listen to that. Now, I want to share a resource with you, and I'm not being paid, endorsed, or whatever to mention this. But it is a particular resource. Let me show you right here. These books come in multiple languages. It's called mostusedwords.com. And I bought mine for Greek, book one, book two, and book three. And in any number of languages, what they'll do is they'll take today, modern Greek, the most commonly used 2,500 words, Greek words, and it's literally a dictionary, and it also shows you sentences alongside the words so you understand the context in which those words would be used. So it's called mostusedwords.com, and you can purchase the books there. It's in multiple languages. So book one is going to be the first 2,500 most commonly used Greek words. The second book is going to be then 2,501 all the way to 5,000 most common Greek words. And for someone like me who is a student in the way that I like to memorize words, I'm a visual learner, I like to check things off of a box and say that I was able to learn my quote vocabulary for the week, this is a fantastic resource for me. Here's book three, which is really for people who are much more fluent in Greek. It's 5,001 to 7,500 most common Greek words. Can't go wrong with that. I love this resource. So what that does is it's a practical way. It's a practical way for you to learn the language and learn words that you're actually going to use in your everyday speech. I know that a lot of the textbooks that we had growing up, when those of us who studied languages growing up, they were more targeted to little kids and school-related or academically related terms that we may not necessarily as adults want to use. So that's another tool. What else can I tell you? Oh, another great thing. You can go on Netflix. And in the case of Greek, there is a channel I found or a platform I found that has free Greek movies and podcasts, movies and documentaries. And so I'm about to dig really deeply into that. And what I like to do on Netflix, I do this with Spanish a lot, especially if I'm watching a movie that's based in either Spain or Argentina where the Spanish is distinct, what I'll do is I'll utilize subtitles in Spanish. So I'm still watching everything. I'm listening to everything in Spanish, and I'm confirming what I'm hearing by reading it in Spanish and the subtitles. And you can do this with any language you're trying to learn. Again, it helps you not only acclimate your ear to the language, but it helps you to see, if you're a visual learner, see those words written out. And if you have that type of visual memory like I do, you can actually memorize words and phrases that way as well. So those are some good techniques. Now, here's another interesting one. I've said this all along. I am really a situational language learner, meaning I'm really only going to learn words and phrases that are applicable to everyday conversations or applicable to topics that I need to know about when I'm traveling. And so I really like to, before I take a trip, I like to anticipate conversations I'll be having or words, phrases and words I think I need to know. And I'll pop those English phrases and words and paragraphs and such into a translator tool. It could be Google Translate, which by the way is horrible. Any of the translating tools. I depend on them because what I do is I translate from English to Greek, for example, and then I save that Greek text to my phone and I listen to it on the translator as well. Usually Google Translate will, you can play it back so you can hear it pronounced. So I practice my pronunciation. And a lot of times I'll create these flashcards that are very, they're not just one word. These flashcards will have phrases and sometimes a couple of sentences, and I will literally memorize them. So it's a very proactive way for me to learn Greek or Spanish conversation, things, phrases that I know that I'll utilize in the future in my sojourns. Another obvious way to learn a language, really, you guys, and it's scary for some people, is to fully immerse yourself in the language by speaking to locals. Let's say, though, that you can't travel to a foreign country and you, like I do, you want to learn Greek. You could always go to a Greek Orthodox church, make some friends there. And I'm serious about this. You could also go to your local family-owned Greek restaurant and chat with them a little bit and just practice even simple phrases. It's a great way to indoctrinate yourself into the world, into this process of language learning, because it is a journey. It's a process. There are roadblocks, bumps in the road, so to speak, and it can be frustrating because as an adult, you really want to be able to grasp new language, but you kind of have to go back to some semblance of infancy. The same way infants learn language is the way adults learn it. You've got to listen by hearing it and practicing it, and repetition is very important. So language learning is going to be a process, and it won't come as quickly to everybody as it will to others. Let's see, what else can I tell you about language learning? Let's recap what we've discussed, though. Today's going to be a short episode, so I'll do a little bit of a recap here. Number one, identify your why. Number two, pick one to two topics of interest and begin building your vocabulary and your phrasing around that. Number three, music. Listen to music in your destination language. Number four, utilize the mostusedwords.com resources to build your vocabulary, the vocabulary that's spoken in modern day Greek society or whatever your destination language is. Next up, podcasts and documentaries. Those are great, great ways for you to acclimate your ear to the new language. You'll start to pick up words and phrases and you'll be able to understand pronunciation a little bit better. Next, if you're watching Netflix in the foreign language, set the subtitles also to that foreign language so that you can practice both hearing and reading the language. It's a great memorization tool and it helps you build fluency and familiarity with the language on a number of levels. Also, utilize your online tools like Google Translator. There are all kinds of translator tools and you want to use those to take common English phrases and sentences and words, translate them to your destination language, cut, copy, and paste them into some kind of file that you have access to, and practice writing and making flashcards for yourself and start memorizing some words and phrases and whole sentences. Not only does this build your vocabulary, but it also builds confidence in your language learning abilities. You're basically doing your proactive part to learn something. And then last but not least is for you to immerse yourself in the culture, either by traveling to a destination country and speaking with the locals there in their native tongue, or finding people here in your country who do speak that language, make friendships with them, offer even to do a language exchange. Oh, and this reminds me of something. I forgot. This is like a bonus suggestion. I did this a couple of years ago in and around the time, I think it was the time of the pandemic. and it was through meetup.com. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of that platform. You can find all kinds of activities. If you love pickleball, you can find a meetup group for pickleball. If you love Bible study, you can find a group, ceramics, poetry, you name it. But they also have language exchange groups where you will be paired in this video chat room with people in your destination language. I remember I was partnered with some people. One person was in Mexico, another one was in Peru, someone was down in Argentina. And the deal was for 30 minutes, we spoke in Spanish only. And then for 30 minutes, we changed and spoke in English. So each party got to practice their non-native language. I found that to be both challenging and highly engaging, and I recommend it. So that's at meetup.com. And you just do a quick search within that app, and you can find some language exchange programs. So I am going to sign off here and wish everyone a most colorful week. And I hope that you will continue joining me on this journey through colorful travel and experiences in places off the beaten path, both near and far. Here at Coloring My Way Across the Globe, my guests and I are all about inspiring, encouraging, and educating you on different ways that you can live your life more colorfully and have a more expansive experience and learn about culture and language and people groups all around the world. So until next time, everybody, I hope that you stay colorful. See you later. Take care. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Coloring My Way Across the Globe. I hope that you've enjoyed the conversation, and we would love to stay connected with you throughout the week. The best way to connect is by subscribing to our newsletter at www.lfbcolor.com. That's www.lfbcolor.com. Also, you may find us on Instagram using the same handle, lfbcolor, for the latest stories, podcast guest profiles, travel photography, language learning diaries, and my own colorful art. Hope to see you there, friends. Thank you again.